we all know what's best for us. When I work with someone, they have the wisdom within, and I just view my job as to helping them pull that out. And so I thought, there's all these areas of clutter. Let's create a journal series so that people can tap their own wisdom. And in addition to asking themselves questions, I kind of outline for them, okay, once you figure this out, here's how you make your goals happen. Here's how you figure out what's most important, and then move forward and take action. Because awareness plus action equals change. And people either lack the awareness or they lack taking action. So it's about putting that all together.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of PodcastGuest.com, the wonderful site where aspiring podcast guests can have a one-page media sheet for folks to reach out to them and invite them on the show. Heck, maybe even invite them to give some talks to their company or organization. And for podcast hosts like myself, get your show blasted out to 40,000 plus emails. And we had over freaking 300 total pitches, and we were able to find a diamond needle in the haystack, y'all. We got a freaking veteran to build it, y'all. That's right, indeed. A podcasted veteran, a book writing veteran, and also a freaking decluttering veteran, y'all. So she's been through the worldwide clutter war number 9 times over, y'all. Because today's wonderful best-selling author. She's award-winning. Hear that right, folks. Award-winning professional life organizer. Certified declutter your life coach, as well as the chief possibility officer. So all the possibilities are going to be happening today. So let's give it up for Ms. JC herself, the joyful champ herself, the one, the only Julie Caraccio. How you doing today, Julie?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, right indeed. Great having you here. That's right indeed. Haven't had a declutter expert on the show and quite some time, and I'm like, all right, let's bring the topic back to the new folks and maybe give some old folks some reminders.
Hey, you know what? It's a constant process, and that's something that's I don't view as negative. That's we can always be better.
That's right. Name the game, be better and not butter, indeed. So, my goodness, what led you to become a decluttering expert? Did you just take on a giant mountain of clutter was like, no, this must not happen ever again.
No, you know what was going on? I had moved from Los Angeles to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'd gotten a job, and my background was in fund development, and I was like, this place is crazy, and I figured that out pretty early on. So I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to leave my job. I wouldn't have income. So I was like, why don't I start my own business? And then I sat down and thought, well, what could I do? I've got to get single. I've got to make money. I've got to support myself, but I want to make a difference. And what would work with my skill set? And so I came up with decluttering and organizing. And prior to that, people would be like, oh, you know, you're uptight. Come and help me declutter and get organized. And then I was like, well, let's go for it. Let's see if we can make a living doing this.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And for the looks of it, you made one heck of a living, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's funny. It's like, oh, yeah. All these freaking papers and all this wonderful clutter that's not so wonderful, but it's about to be clear. So, my goodness. And you really did make it a business all these freaking years, and it's still a business to this day. You're able to write books, too. So, what led you to actually become an author and actually add another offering to your wonderful services?
Well, I'm like you, I was a podcaster, although I'm no longer doing it. And I did it for a decade. And I had kind of outlined all these episodes, and I'd always wanted to be able to call myself an author. So I, for one of the books, I used based on a bunch of different episodes. And then I'm a huge fan of journaling. And so I created a journal prompt series because I believe that we all know what's best for us. When I work with someone, they have the wisdom within, and I just view my job as to helping them pull that out. And so I thought, there's all these areas of clutter. Let's create a journal series so that people can tap their own wisdom. And in addition to asking themselves questions, I kind of outline for them, okay, once you figure this out, here's how you make your goals happen. Here's how you figure out what's most important, and then move forward and take action. Because awareness plus action equals change. And people either lack the awareness or they lack taking action. So it's about putting that all together.
Sweet, that's what I'm talking about. Put it all together, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's great, indeed. And my goodness, so it sounds like the book writing process was easy for you since you had all the podcasts outlined. And you're doing a bunch of solo episodes, too.
Yeah, I wish. Yes and no. I mean, even though I had drafts, it was like, you have to come up with a title, you have to put it in a book structure. So it wasn't, and that was my biggest challenge, as organized as I am, the biggest challenge was kind of creating the structure of the book.
Yeah, sure. I guess that's the curse of knowledge. It's like, all right, cool. I know a bunch. All right, I'm supposed to write a book now. All right. What do I actually put in here to actually keep? It's like, yeah, I got like 15 of them, but it's like, shoot. Like, I still can't give them the whole house. They might make a run for it, or they might not make it to this point. They might see a goldfish, or they might see a gnat get distracted. That's what I'm talking about, and things I'm talking about, indeed. So, what was your biggest help to finally get across that finish line? Because a lot of folks aspire to write books to this day still, and they never make it to the finish line. What helped you to get past it?
Yeah, you know what? That's true. And that's where I come in, because people hire me because they can't get the motivation. And that's one thing that I talk about. I think motivation is really important. And you have to figure what is clutter costing you, right? Maybe it's costing you peace of mind because you and your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend are fighting all the time, or it's costing you money because you're paying your bills late, or is it costing you time? And so, really, I think motivation is a huge part of that. And then you have to flip that on its head and say, okay, this is what's clutter's costing me, but what can I gain if I declutter, right? And the older I get, you can't put a price tag on peace of mind. And so that's something that I think is very beneficial to support people in getting motivated to do it. And again, if they're overwhelmed and they can't do it themselves, and that's why people like me are out there to help. Because there's certain things that I can't do. And even if I'm a disciplined person, sometimes I need that extra help.
Ah, good point indeed. Good point indeed. So clutter can really hold you back in multiple ways, especially when it comes to getting your book done on top of that. And well, funny enough, actually, now to think about it, if I remember correctly, you actually talk about a piece that you really don't hear that much when it comes to decluttering, and that's the spiritual piece of it. So what led you to add that piece to it?
Because I've done a lot of personal growth work, and prior to I at the point never recommend that. When I started out in 2009, my business name was Healing Through Organization, and then I was invited by a producer. He's like, "Come on, let's create a show and come to the studio." I had a home studio, so I did an international internet TV show called Reawaken Your Brilliance, where I interviewed body, mind, and spirit experts. And so that is how I am as a person. And I'd read these books, or they'd say, "Well, let's use you as an example." And so that was a really 3-year period of personal growth. And so it's something that it's who I am. So I automatically bring it into my business. But if you talk, for instance, about having gratitude, if you are in gratitude, it's harder to create, let's talk physical clutter, right? Because if you are grateful for what you have, first of all, you can't hold two opposing thoughts at the same time. You can't be in gratitude and feel like you lack abundance, right? That's not possible. And so if you have gratitude, then you're less likely to become jealous of someone and say, "Oh, I've, I want all these things. And so if you bring that in, I think that's really important. And as you work on spiritual, mental, and emotional clutter, then that automatically helps you with your physical clutter and vice versa. If you clear your physical space, then that's going to give you an area, if you want, where you can contemplate or read works that inspire you. And so it's all interconnected. And I think that's really important to know.
Good to know indeed. Good to know indeed. Yeah, even in my own life, I've noticed a difference when it's like, all right, cool. Let me go through a little spring cleaning of the room here. It's like, all right, cool. Oh, wow. I can actually move a freaking around. Don't have freaking shoes everywhere. Actually, making sure the clothes are back up on the rack.
Yeah.
Rack.
But, you know, being able to relax, that's one thing that people say to me. Not being overwhelmed in my home. Or I've worked with people who have been ashamed and embarrassed by their homes, and they don't want to have anyone stop by. And, you know, that can be really isolating.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Then that invites all other nonsense to get in. It's like, all right, cool, isolation. All right. Yeah, not going to be fully antisocial here. Then you get too antisocial. Then you start seeing random things that aren't really there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right, indeed. And then we see a random penguin waddling around your home. And it's like, oh, all right. This is what clutter gets you. A penguin in your house. Right.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, and clutter to the extreme is hoarding, which you have to be, I recommend if someone's listening that has a loved one that's a hoarder or knows someone that is, that really needs to be handled by a pro. And I think it's important to make that distinction. There are people who are trained. I have a friend that does that are trained to work with hoarders. And that's really important because there's a psychological component behind it. I mean, I would say within my work, there's definitely, I'm a fan of digging deeper, like understanding why do we feel the need to accumulate or what is the roadblock to releasing it. But hoarders definitely getting into the psychological aspect.
Ah, good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. And what's the major difference between those with just clutter as opposed to those who are just hoarders, where it's like, all right, this is way too deep for me, buddy. We need to get a little taxi back here. Let me get my friend who can help you out with this aspect of it.
You know, I think now, and I think it's the DMSV5 or whatever, like hoarding, people who hoard are listed as a mental, I don't like whatever word it is for it. I'm not a fan of it, but a mental, I would prefer the word challenged, but you know, there's a psychological aspect. I think most people just are overwhelmed or they've accumulated things for 10, 15, 20 years and then wake up and are like, oh my gosh, I have all this stuff. It's too much. What do I want to do? I've also noticed that the older people get, they want to release more things. Most people, not all people. And so I think it's a combination. I think the biggest thing with people I work with is that they're just simply overwhelmed, right? And are like, I don't want to do this. I mean, and they think, oh, I'm going to watch this show. And in 48 minutes with commercials, the house is going to be completely done. And that's not reality. You don't see behind the scenes. And that's one of my frustrations, because I'm like, it took you all this time to build it up. You know, you're not, it's not going to be done in 2 hours.
Yeah, it's true. It's so freaking true. It's the good old classic underestimation of a project. Actually, kind of reminds me of, it might even be that 10X book from Grant Cardone where it mentions like, hey, you got to set aside 10 times more time than you think you need when it comes to getting projects done. And if you have a cluttering issue, that's definitely one of those problems.
Well, you know, what I tell people is estimate how long you think it's going to take and then double it. And if you get done before the time you think that day or at the end of the project, then celebrate. You've got that extra time. But it's, I think I always suggest at minimum doubling it, because I think it tends to take people longer than they think. And especially if it's something they're struggling with, it might take them a little longer to get going and actually moving. And if it's, you know, and they haven't done it, they're like, oh, maybe I have to stop and ask questions. Or I don't have the skill set. So I think that that's something that helps people and that can get you started out well, knowing, okay, I'm going to block off this time. And if I don't finish, great. But if I do finish, then I have that extra time.
Sweet. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Good tip, indeed. Good reminders with folks like, all right. It's like, nope, he ain't going to get it done in commercials, y'all. It ain't happening. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. If it took you a while to build the wonderful Rome of clutter, then it's going to take some time to deconstruct it.
It will. It will.
That's right, indeed. If you have a whole Caesar's palace.
Yeah, yeah.
It might take a whole Ides of March situation. Let me stop.
Yeah. Hey, you know, sometimes, and again, you know, just I think don't judge yourself. That's really important. And if you aren't going to have help, or if you have your friends over, make it sure that it's someone that's non-judgmental, because I've seen that really, if someone makes a comment, then that just pulls people back into their shell, and then they don't want to do anything about it. And that, you know, that's not fun. Then it just continues to accumulate in most situations, and then they don't declutter.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely true indeed. It's true indeed. That's right indeed. I guess that's why motivational speak is basically one of your skills. It's like, hey, come on, don't beat yourself up, buddy. Don't beat yourself up indeed. Don't worry. Just picture a pink golf ball inside of your mind. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
That's right indeed. Don't mind the penguin with the banana. He'll disappear soon. So my goodness, so since you've been podcasting for 10 years, you probably learned a whole bunch of stuff. So what would you consider your three biggest lessons learned from starting, running, and managing your magical show?
First important thing is you have to be authentic. You have to be yourself. When I started, I'm not famous, still not famous, but I had a loyal following and I kept it real. I think that people appreciate authenticity and that that's super important. I would say the second thing, lesson that I learned in podcasting is it's important to get ratings and reviews. You know, you have to look at the algorithm. Unfortunately, we have no control over that, but just I've always at that and say, hey, you know, if you can rate and review me when I interview on a podcast and it goes live, I always share the link. I put a link on my website and I promote it on social media and I rate and review the person. And you'd be surprised at how many people. I tended towards the end not to have as many guests because and they always wanted to be on your podcast. You mentioned how many people reached out to you to interview, but then they never wanted to promote it. So I never was that way. And if you do a show, get people who are going to support you in that way. But having ratings and reviews is important. And then finally, I'd say that consistency. I think I see a lot of people who start a podcast think, oh, it's this going to be this easy thing to put together. And then put out an episode and then maybe go a couple weeks without another one. And so it's important to have it at the same time and same day. So those would be my three tips.
Oh, solid rock tips indeed. That's right indeed. Some would say even wing tips to help you get that flight in the day because it's so true. So true. That consistency is freaking huge. And even ratings and reviews are even bigger too because it's like, hey, the more reviews you put in and get for your show, the better. Because, heck, even funny enough, some folks in the past wouldn't even guest on certain shows because they wouldn't even have 20 reviews on their podcast. It's like, dude, like, relax.
Yeah, you know, and then that's not, if someone asks me, I interview. I don't think I've ever turned being interviewed down because when I did my show, Reawaken Your Brilliance, I had some Bruce Lipton, Peter Walsh, who's big in my world. I asked them to interview with me and they did. And they could have easily said no because they were kind of big time. And so I always remembered that. And, I don't want to be picky like that. And you can have a lot of people listen and you don't have 20 reviews. You know, that's why I said gets ratings and reviews. It's sometimes tougher than you think. And even if you have people, I've had people, oh, I love the show and email me. And I was like, please rate and review it then. Right. They took the time to reach out for you. But a lot of times, even if people like it, they won't take the time to review. So, you know, that's not necessarily an indicator of something. And it's interesting that that would be a bar for someone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, like you'd be freaking surprised. Like, come on, man. Yeah. But hey, comes with the territory indeed. Comes with the territory indeed. So is there anything you think you would have done differently after the magical decade of decluttering via the podcast?
Oh, good question. I haven't been asked that. I don't know. I think one thing I would say that was also important is I listened to myself and I did what was important for me. So, for example, after maybe 5 years, then I would take a 12-week break, like over the summer, like maybe stop at June and take all of July or August. I don't remember what it was, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that, because I just was like, I'm getting burned out. I love doing this, but if I don't give myself a break, then that was important. So I honored that and then, just switch things up. I'd try things and if it didn't work, I was like, okay, like I would did a month where I did episodes focusing on organizing. I'm like, eh, that's not I'm more passionate about the decluttering. But I tried it and I was like, eh, they didn't wasn't as much resonance with people. So I didn't do it. So I just think it's important that you honor what you need to do and then try different things, and you will find your audience, and you're not for everyone, and everyone's not for you. So it's just important to remember that.
Go honor what you do, y'all. It's right indeed. Try something else. It's right indeed. It's so true indeed, 'cause yeah, that's the behind the scenes stuff. It's always the stuff that folks don't think about on the other side. It's like, oh, this content's freaking amazing. It's like, sweet, I'm glad it is, 'cause it was a lot of effort to get this out here.
Yes. It does. People don't understand the time. And, even if you do a what I would call a quick or a soft edit, that still takes time.
Yep, that's right. Because you were doing video editing too, which your podcast too, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the things I remember, gosh, probably after a couple of years, I just said, if I have an or a, sorry, you're just going to have to deal with it. Life happens and I can't spend all this time editing. It's taking way too much time to do it. And, I never had a problem. Podcasts continue to grow. I think for like, I'm here for the content. If, there's an or whatever, it's okay. And, I also think we tend to be our own harsher critics and notice things maybe that people don't notice.
Yep, you're so right about that. You're so right about that. It is so true indeed. And funny enough, they probably never know until you bring it to their attention. And then afterwards, they're looking for it. And it's like, hey, wait a second. There it is. It's like, ah, darn, the magician told their secrets again. They should have never told a soul. It's like, yeah, I use them a lot. Like, no, you don't. Stop revealing the secret. They won't notice a thing. It's a foolproof plan unless you use it 30 times in 20 seconds. Oh, man. So, my goodness. So, since you're still guesting on shows, which is still a treat for multiple shows to have you as a podcast guest still, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on guest mode?
Well, I always like it when I have been and when I'm asked a question that I've never been asked. So that's questions I've never been asked. So I appreciate that. Oh gosh, that they'd ask. This is a tough one. Nothing is coming to me off the top of my head. Or maybe I would, because people will say, how'd you get started? You ask that question. So maybe something along the lines of, you've been in business since 2009. What keeps you going? Maybe something like that.
That's right. Indeed. What keeps you going? Here, you even got more stuff coming.
I do. My Etsy store is coming. I'm working diligently on things now, and I'm really excited because I look at clutter and decluttering a little bit differently than other people. So I'm going to have some guided meditations and some more fun stuff that I'm working on now.
Sweet. Hooray for more fun stuff, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Julie's got gifts, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. This Santa is a lot more fit, y'all. That's right, indeed. And the good news is she helps you declutter.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's important. I've had times in my life where I haven't had much money, and so that's kind of why I've created things that are affordable. And again, thinking outside the box, like having affirmations or the guided meditations that you can listen to while or have on as background or while you're in the shower or whatever, but that are planting those seeds to help you declutter.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out: Action Steps for Freedom from Physical, Mental, Emotional, and Spiritual Clutter, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, that is, I've never been asked that for sure. You know what? The book would be pizza. And because it provides comfort, although I'm a little biased on this, obviously I consider pizza comfort food, but it's got some nutrition there. It's giving you the basics, it's helping feed you, it helps you comfort you because you know you're not alone, and it's going to help guide you to declutter your life. And so it's got the nutrition that you need and also the comfort to declutter your life.
Sweet. There we go. The circle of life, pizza. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. It's well loved. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's one of the greatest pies on earth. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. To have a slice of this magical book, metaphorically, I'll have all the slices. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been in business since 2009, you probably had some setbacks along the way. So, what would you consider your biggest setback in business that actually sets you up for success?
Cool. Well, COVID definitely put a dent in things because I couldn't work in people's homes. And the other thing I would say, so at the time I was living in Raleigh, North Carolina, and there are quite a few people that are organizing. So it was important for me to set myself apart. And so I did that one by being eco-friendly. That's something I was passionate about. And I was the first in the state of North Carolina to be an eco-organizer. And then again, my personal aspect of, hey, let's look at all areas of clutter. So the COVID part, so I'd say at the beginning with all the people, it taught me, you know what, you have to distinguish how you're different, and you can't be someone that you're not going to be. And I think that that's really important because people work with people that they are attracted to, if they vibe with or whatever. And I think it's important to have that genuine connection. And then with COVID, I'm like, okay, well, got to write some books. How else can we think outside the box? Okay, well, let's work with people virtually. I can work with you on your closet. We have Zoom here. We can make it happen. And so being able to be flexible, I'd say, were probably the biggest things. And, we're now in West Virginia. I hadn't expected to move back, but my mother got ill and my husband was willing to move back to my hometown. And so it's a little bit of reinventing myself again, right? I'm excited. I have a presentation coming up from the YWCA, but I did a couple presentations for not a lot of money for the school district. But I was like, well, you do these, you don't know who you're going to meet. And I said, well, we're going to consider you having a conference that we're doing at the state level, right? So I think that you have to, for most people, be able to change or have to reinvent at some point.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Sorry, indeed. Didn't even know there was a bunch of decluttering experts in North Carolina.
There are in Raleigh, there are.
Alrighty. That's right, indeed. She found a wonderful niche to set herself apart, y'all. Like, I'm eco-friendly, darn it. That's right, indeed. I care about the earth. That's right, indeed.
Good.
She's like, yeah, baby. That's right, indeed. We don't just fill up landfills for no reason. It's like when you throw it away, we don't know where a way is. We know where a way is here.
Yeah, but it's a legitimate concern where some areas are running out of landfill space. We're in hurricane season, climate change. There are, I know everyone doesn't believe in that, but I believe it's real.
Oh yeah, you're right. These past few years alone, shoot, it's definitely real. Global warming is a thing. It's like these past few summers, especially, heck, even these past few years with weather altogether. Like I know up in Maryland, we used to get snow every year, and it wasn't until I think this past 2024/late 2023 where we actually got more than 2 inches of snow, because
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we stopped getting snow for like years where it would actually stick and go past like 2 inches. So it's like, yeah. Yep. That and high humidity during the summer too. It's like, oh.
Yes.
100's feeling like 130.
Yeah, I mean it's no joke. I think where was it the was it the hottest? I mean it was close to 130 that thought that they've already recorded in Iran or somewhere like that. And I'm like, how can humans, they're talking about India. I'm like, how do people survive that?
Yeah, it's scary. It's like, man, it's like, come on, it's like, stop cooking us. Come on, come on. It's like, I don't want to be burnt, please. Save burnt for
Yeah.
the toast.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, indeed, it's good stuff. And the setting yourself apart and caring about the magical planet, because hey, we only got one planet. We only got one planet.
Right.
For those thinking about Mars, like, nah. Wait a couple hundred extra years, and even then, it's like, that's not even livable.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you but the Iroquois statement, you know, you have to consider what you do and how it impacts the next seven generations.
There we go. Wise words right there, because it's so true. It's like, all right, cool. It's like, ain't just the me now generation, like 7 generations ahead. That's huge right there. That's huge. That's right, indeed. That's
And
right,
I'm
indeed.
paraphrasing, you'll have to get the exact quote, but that's it in a nutshell.
Oh, all right. So cashews or almonds?
Both. But I have to tell you, I do like almond butter. Almond butter is very, I like almond butter better than peanut butter.
Ah, all right. All right. So the name of the game is be better and not butter. But if it's almond butter, be almond butter. Oh man. Well, for coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh my gosh. Well, I would truthfully, I would. What advice would I? You know what? That it's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay. And to trust the path and that things aren't going to turn out quite the way you think they are, but that's okay. And there's the joy of the surprise in that. And to just don't be so serious and lighten up, and you're going to find a wonderful husband.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right, indeed. It won't be just 9 to 5, y'all. It'll work out. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, indeed. That's right, indeed. It'll be so good of a thing, it'll make Martha Stewart proud, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. But hey, ain't about making Martha Stewart proud. It's about making Julie extra happy. So, for those who need to keep in contact with you, cop some copies of your magical books and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, thank you. If they go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, they can find my social handles. They can find my books, which are also available on Amazon or wherever you buy books, and follow me. And I have a free newsletter twice a month. Don't sell your name. And if you sign up for that, you get 10 free steps you can take right now to declutter your life. And I give you action items that are easy and to start you on your decluttering journey.
Well, you heard that right, folks. She's got goodies, y'all. So sign up for her newsletter twice a month. Y'all even get those 10 steps, indeed. 10 is great. That's right, indeed. That's right. 10's a great magical number. She's got 10 steps for you, indeed. That's right, indeed. If you're tracking your steps, you'll have 10 right off the bat just from subscribing, y'all. That's right, indeed. It'll be good stuff. It'll be good stuff, indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
Yeah, I would just say to remind people that they are good enough, they are worthy, and they are loved no matter what. Because life can get you down, people can get you down, and even people that love you can get you down. So just remember that.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3. And be sure sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.